These are scenes and sights from Westbury.
Die mense is gatvol. Ons mense het gesê enough is enough.
People are being marginalized here, right now. If our children go and look for work, they are not particularly black. That is the problem. The problem is our children must resort to selling drugs to make money because there's no job for them.
Just like in areas such as Ennerdale, Coronation, Nuclear, and Bontehierville in Cape Town, communities are in flux of revolution. This is a revolution where A people want to be afforded the basic human rights as the rest. The right to also be seen, of not being sidelined. These communities identify as so-called colored. On this episode, we attempt not to assert any kind of biases about the history, politics, and culture of these communities, but rather lend an ear. We do so generously as these folks speak for themselves.
Muhammad Ihsan Fredericks.
Rochelle Kenny.
Zenobia Shifayo.
Malcolm Benny Kenny.
Jonathan Kapuk.
Together with these folks, we chat over a braai in El Dorado Park, south of Johannesburg. The braai itself, a symbol of reconciliatory politics in contemporary South Africa, we put the meat to the test on the burner. The designated braai master-in-chief, Jonathan Kapuk, starts off by telling us of his secret ingredients in braaiing the perfect meat.
You know, this is my brother-in-law's braai stain. My brother-in-law's braai stain, but I think I'm gonna inherit it.
Now, why are you always a trusted guy to do the braai?
I think it's just because people trust me in general. Like, not really just food-related, like, just in general.
Yeah.
So, like, they trust me with their house the same way they trust me with their meat.
Yeah.
You see, like, my friend is gone now. He left me with this crop. I'm braaiing. So that's why I can make that comparison. They trust me with their house as much as with their meat.
And what's your process when it comes to the braai? What makes your braai special?
Without being narcissistic, I'm going to say me. Because the entertainment. You see, I think just conversation. Conversation is what makes it interesting.
Mm.
Like with the meat, I don't really care if it's medium well, if it's overcooked, if it's rare. If it looks good to me, it tastes good to me. So my secret is just how the meat looks.
And what would the response be after people having eaten your braai?
Now people always love the meat, man. They always love it. I'm still yet to face any complaints. You know, I visited in Witbank with my friend, the same group of people. So it was my friend's sister's child's party.
Hmm.
I guess I should say my sister because we family, that's why I went with, you know. They kind of insisted. So we were chilling there and we were talking about food. And those people, they just want us to come back. But I think it was more about the company. You know, that's why I say it's always the company to me that makes the food nicer. You know, I just read something the other day. They said a sandwich is always nicer when someone else makes it for you. And I think maybe that's also the rule that applies here. But just great conversation makes it even better, you know?
Yeah. Preparing the braai itself, what goes in?
Okay, well, we start the fire, you know, basic fire, you know. Just throw the fire lighters, and we throw the coal over it, and then we light the fire lighters through the coal. When the fire starts nice, then we start adding our coal. When it burns nice and warm, we spread it, and then we clean our grill, and then that's where the magic happens, man. That's when everything starts. That's all that goes into it. No extra cardboards and papers and plastics and...
Any special sauce that you put on the meat?
Look, man, it can be any sauce mixed with tomato sauce. For some reason, tomato sauce just gives you that thickness that it requires. It's like my own special barbecue sauce like this. I've never tried this combination before, but we're gonna learn. You know, we have tomato sauce there mixed with some very peri, I think it is. It's a first-time combination. Now, you'll tell me at the end of the podcast.
so many social ills, society breeds, it's like
so Eldorado Park, yes, it's going to be shut down. As we said, we're going to do it peacefully, and we'll take it from there. As you people know, that in 2013, Jacob Zuma was here. He employed people here for 6 weeks. And after 6 weeks, these people left. But while they were here, the stuff did happen still. Where what happened is drugs, everything was still happening in front of the cops. So what they are doing now in Westbury, they done it here. It's not something new for us.
Okay, our people are tired of complaining about the same things over and over and over. So now, it's like the strike is basically just to say that we're not saying that we're better or we're worse, or we want to be equal. We just want to be treated fairly amongst all our other peers, regardless of age, color. You know, like we feel separated, but at the same time in between, if that makes any sense.
You having said that, somebody can just come through and say, those are the results of apartheid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to call somebody colored. What is that? That's like separation in itself already.
You know,
you black. Yeah. I'm black.
Yeah.
You know?
Like over the past few months on social media, there's been a storm. There's been a lot of hatred and bashing towards colored people. Like the things that I see, I get so disgusted by. Colored people are dogs, colored people are this, colored people are that, but they don't know us on a personal level. It's the same like generalizing something, but now you're taking a whole group of people. It's like saying the entire Germany are Nazis when it was just Hitler in a faction. You know what I mean? Everybody is their own person, regardless of the color of their skin. I saw something so interesting. They said hatred is not given to us at birth. It's something that we are taught, and I'm actually shocked at what our people are teaching their children in all races.
Wanna add on?
You know what the thing also, man? Another thing that I think is not actually too much things happening in our colored communities, like facilities. Looking back, looking around where we're from, there's not too much facilities and activities happening for our people. So that is one of my things on it. So that is also where the problem lies, where I can say that we are being neglected once again. And it's depressing, because when it was like in the apartheid, we weren't white enough. Now in the new democratic, we're not black enough. So I don't know. Where do we fit in?
Yeah, well, true. Colored people are marginalized. If you look around, if you go to Soweto, you'll see development all over. Go to any colored community, there's absolutely nothing happening. You find guys, or not even guys, girls, hanging out on corners. You know, even in a job, looking for jobs, they'll rather go for, even though they classify us as black, but they'll still take a black African guy instead of a black colored person. You understand? Because I don't know, BEE, I don't understand BEE. I don't understand.
Actually.
You understand? Black economic empowerment is what it is, but if we're not black enough, how is that going to empower us? Maybe they should come up with CEE. You understand? They should make it, they should actually separate it. CEE, BEE, WEE. You understand? So everyone can have a piece of the pie. Isn't it? Currently, it's only the black people that's. And they're stealing the money as well. That is what causes problems. I mean, I don't think there isn't money for development here. You understand?
There's plenty.
Plenty money, but it's greed. People are rather more concerned with
filling their own pockets than empowering the greater part of, you know, the South African people. So until that happens, I don't think colored people will be happy. Because if there's no development, there's obviously no recreation. So what is the next best thing?
That obviously breeds other things. Your gangsterisms are going to come out of that because it's underdeveloped.
I mean, if you wake up in the morning, you don't have no job. You understand? What are you going to do? You know, check around. Okay, now my guys, let me go see what my guys are up to. You are sitting there, you are broke. You just need a plan, you just want to eat, you just want to... You understand? So, where is the money going to come from? Crime. It's the only thing. And that's colored. Colored's only no crime. If you're not educated colored, you're going to do crime.
I want to speak about that. Privilege when it comes to coloredhood, so to speak.
Yeah.
You think there's a huge divide between the colored that went to UCT and got a degree, studying towards his PhD, and somebody like you who lives in Elders right now?
Yeah, there's definitely. I mean, opportunities for someone that is educated is far more than someone that just comes from the street. Because at the end of the day, even people with education, nowadays it's all about experience. So people go study maybe 5 years to become whatever, and then you go out in the job, in the world looking for a job. And then they'll tell you, no, you don't have the experience, but you're sitting with the papers. So how do you gain experience if they're not willing to give you the chance or opportunity to just prove yourself? I think people should, if you got your whatever diploma, degree, whatever, I think the government should actually like come up with a way where you can gain that experience. You understand? It should be guaranteed. Like if you achieve whatever certificate, diploma or whatever, there should be like a way for you to just make the, to gain the experience.
A lot of the people around here have a lot of different skills, but not one person can get a job because they don't have papers. But in contrast to that, I went and made an affidavit for whatever the case was. I can't even remember at the time. There was a lady there who studied law for 7 years, and she was unemployed for 3. That's basically like studying for 10 years with no pay. Why couldn't she get a job? And she's a qualified lawyer. And it's not like she had bad marks, because I won't lie to you, I looked and I saw that everything there was at least over 78% or 78%. That's a very high mark, especially in law. You know your stuff. I think people should be afforded opportunities, but there's no opportunities being given.
I heard people speaking of Afrikaps.
Yeah, I think it's it's education. I mean, you know, Afrikaans is a difficult language. Yeah. So if you're not educated, if you didn't do good in school in Afrikaans, you understand, you have to communicate with your people, and that's how we communicate as colored people, to understand each other. If I speak higher grade Afrikaans, we won't understand each other. You understand? So it's just our way of communicating. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same like combining...
Express yourself.
It's the way to express yourself. It's the same like combining our Afrikaans with slang.
Yeah.
Like we have also our own slang words in Afrikaans, but that doesn't really mean anything, but it means something. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of words that has no meaning, like ne. But we all know what ne means. Yeah. Is it even Afrikaans? Is it even English? Is it even a word? You see, so like we combine words into Afrikaans that have no meaning, but they mean something in that sentence. Yeah. That is why there's a disconnect between Dutch and Afrikaans. Dutch has its own language. I can watch something Dutch now, I'll catch one or two words now and then. You know? But if I watch Afrikaans, I'm still going to struggle because I don't know proper Afrikaans. I know Afrikaans that I learn in the hood because that's how we communicate, as you were saying. We combine Afrikaans with slang, sometimes even with English, and some people with Zulu. You never know.
Yeah, our Afrikaans is mixed. It's a mixture of
even
whatever
our
language.
Mixed.
You understand?
See, it's like we, like,
so you can't really say our Afrikaans is like a language. It's how we can communicate with each other.
Because at the end of the day, communication, what's the purpose of communication? Communication is to hand over information, and that's how we communicate. And I just think that is our language. It's not from the Netherlands or from Netherlands or from the Dutch. It's what we created for ourselves. Like some people have Zulu, they have Xhosa, they have Sperry. And that's how they grew up communicating, by handing in over information. And it's the purpose of communication. So that is how we communicate.
You know, every language has expressions that you can't translate. Every language. And like that is our language for that, Afrikaans. Like the other day I was at work, I had to put some Zulu captioning. But I asked what the English translation was. But I couldn't get it, like the actual translation. And that's how Afrikaans is for us. It's just, it's for some it's their first language, for some of us it's our second language. But that expression is the only way you can express that thought or that feeling. There's some things that you just can't say in English.
What would you like to see coming out of this whole total shutdown thing from the colored community?
I would just like to see effort from the government's part. You know, just now we were talking about Kliptown. Kliptown is still in Yaldos. It's the same thing. It's like, it's the border of Yaldos and Soweto. It's in between. You know, but Soweto has some development. Kliptown right there, it's a landmark. It's a geographical landmark. There's history there. There's no development there. And we feel like there's no development because it's right on the shoulders of Yaldos. It's almost like if they start there, they have to come here.
They don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see.
And even stereotyping, I mean. That's another problem. Because, I mean, you can go wherever. If people hear you from Yalraru Park, they'll naturally think about, can't you organize me a tape?
or something.
Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you're from Yaldos, whether you've been a good person all your life, you went to school and whatever, but they'll still come to you. Even if you don't know nothing about anything, they'll still want something from you because they feel that that's what we are.
Wherever you go.
Wherever you go.
At work, wherever. If they just see you are colored. There's always that stereotypical way of thinking. Like it's all colors the same.
Yeah, even the our tradition and stuff like
that. We don't have a tradition.
It's like so where do colored we belong? People, culture. They can't Are pay. We? Yeah, the it's culture, like yeah. They pay la bola for colored people. Do colored people pay la bola or are we free or whatsoever? So it's like we are known. So I don't know. I really don't know. We need to change this.
You colored. Wow. You always get that.
Yeah.
You always get that.
I had this idea. Like, what if all colored people are the same? Because all people who think that treat us in a way where we can react the same way the last person did. Like, they push you to a point where you become that stereotype.
Yeah, you have to just
own. And this is what's happening now. That stereotype on national television, in the news.
Colors are, they don't trust
us. Telling people I'm colored sometimes. Telling people. No, seriously, on a serious note, because like every time when I tell them, okay, because colored, they say, oh, sticky mensa. Oh, break your nose. It's like they're hiding things. Like they're not comfortable around us. Like we all not the same.
Or if something must go missing, the colored person will be the one that is being looked at.
You know?
You understand? It's the colored person because we thieves, we are just, I don't know, maybe that is our culture. People feel that is our culture, that we were created just to steal people's shit.
No. And it's not a place, actually, like Yaldoraro Park. People are so afraid of coming to Yaldoraro Park, knowing that Yaldos is not the problem.
Yeah,
it's the people. They don't know. You can't
some
judge
of the
place.
You
can't judge it. Like, we're all not the same. We're all different. Mummies, the puppies,
In this flux of identity wars, poet, artist, and friend of Peas in a Pod, Richard Kwaz Ruart, speaks of an interesting project that he's currently busy with.
Kwaz Ruart here, poet and artist. I'm currently working on currently doing research, working towards putting together a collection of poetry that specifically speaks to the idea of identity loss, but also in the context of the so-called colored community, finding new ways of sort of re-articulating, reimagining where the language and where the identity comes from. That's sort of the idea of the collection. But the book itself is framed as a conversation between two languages, which is Kuku Khwab, which is one of the Kuku languages spoken by the ancient and first peoples of Africa and Southern Africa, and the other is Afrikaans, which is ultimately the language that ultimately sort of took over and took its place. So when all of the cultural whitewashing happened and all of the, the genocide, the cultural genocide, not just cultural genocide, but also one of the first genocides which happened in Namibia, when all of that happened, then the introduction then was, Dutch, and then the offspring, the bastard offspring of that, which was Afrikaans, so how people were then forced to sort of assume this identity, and everyone that spoke it then was sort of labeled and clumped under this big group as so-called colored. The collection that I'm working on specifically sort of tries to interrogate that, but also pokes at certain questions, like the question of identity and where the lines are blurred between who is and who isn't, and also who gets to say who is and who isn't, and then also what it means today in 2018 for someone like me who lives with the label and who also has to navigate around, a country that is so concerned with who are you and where are you from, and always being confronted also with the question of, who are you? And then having to deal with how loaded that question is for a person like me with so many multiple identities. So I think it's going to be a really cool project, but I'm also kind of hoping that it would help me and open my eyes going forward as well, because I think it is also a personal journey that I'm undertaking, to sort of find out van waar kom ek, wie is my mense, and hoekom as ek wie ek is. So yeah, we'll see what this looks like at the end of my residency, my writing residency at Wits, and hopefully, it can translate into many other things apart from just a collection of poems.
To airwaves, I maintain the mainframe. Pray every day and light the candle for forgotten names. The rusty souls swimming through a black hole in search of the author of my life.
You've been listening to Peas in a Pod with me, Kagiso Mnisi. As you well know, everything we put in our mouths has a story to tell.
Area animated linguistic. Have thoughts lost in my forest of semantics. Techno and profanic burst with waves of the sonic. Invade cerebral ethics with my godlike tactics. Thoughts run like Kenyan athletes. Personal renaissance breathing. Baby through innocence, experience earpiece pierced with wise resonance. Constant benevolence, we defy all irrelevance. Charge with the force of 1,000 elephants. Multifaceted, unique among all inhabitants. Dip.